Well, this morning we're looking at our gospel reading for the most part, which certainly makes sense when you look at the sermon title. And it's one of those questions that seems in some ways even more apropos these days, having just gone through the twins' graduation and seen and heard what people are looking forward to doing next. I was allowed to be part of the cap and gown ceremony as I was presented a small award from the Parents Committee. It has different names all over the place. Call it the PTA and you get it about right. And one of the things they mentioned, and just in case we're thinking of giving up on this generation, total awards that they knew of, scholarships and such, and obviously that may not count those whose parents have worked for companies that make scholarships available. That graduating class had earned more than $175,000 in scholarships and awards for 212 or 215 of them, which I thought was pretty impressive, because say what you like about our generation, we don't throw money where we don't think it's going to do any good. And I think this next generation is going to do some really extraordinary things, and not just because my kids are part of it. It was just a wonderful opportunity to see this transition point, and occasionally amusing as well. Nothing like hearing someone in grade 12 looking at moving perhaps into the workforce and talking about, finally, I won't have people telling me what to do all the time. I just think, you never have had a job, have you? Really, when you get out there, there's a lot more people telling you a lot more things that you have to do, and the consequences tend to be a little bit more instantly significant than getting a B+ instead of an A because you hand something in a little bit late. But as I think about who we are, and the kind of people we are, it's very easy to imagine a response to the last three verses of our gospel reading where Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. And we all think, well, that's wonderful. Rest is good, especially when you've been working a lot. And then he says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And that's where the sermon title comes from. It's very easy to see us saying, but I don't want a yoke. Who wants a yoke? Well, the problem with that is, in the same way that someone leaving high school thinking they're now going to get a job where they can do whatever they like, is it's a misunderstanding. And in our case, it's a misunderstanding because in the same way that a fish tends not to be aware of water, according to the proverb, we probably aren't aware of the yokes that we have already. And in this case, Jesus, of course, is talking about not a physical yoke. He's certainly not talking about an egg yolk, which is spelled differently, and I tried to come up with some puns that might make a better sermon title, but it was just beyond me. Heather had a couple of good ones, but I've already forgotten what they are, so I can't even share them. We have yokes already. Yokes, in this case, talk about the work that we have. And a yoke, of itself, of course, for us is not a terribly useful metaphor, perhaps. We don't really understand it. But a yoke is simply a device that allows you to carry weight a little better. It distributes it better. And if we want to look at this whole idea of what a yoke might be, the yoke might represent those things that we need to do, jobs that we have, responsibilities, whether they're in the workplace or in the community or whether at home, our responsibilities to the relationships we have. And for us to say we don't want a yoke presupposes this notion that we don't have any of those, and yet of course we do. We all have things that we need to do, and we all have responsibilities and jobs of one kind or another. And if we keep that completely in mind, it gives us a little bit better idea of what Jesus is talking about. I'm sure I've mentioned this before, but you can make a very good case that the existence or the invention of the yoke spelled the end of human slavery in the ancient world. Whatever we think of slavery now, it's quite different than what it was back then. And back then, it was primarily an economic transaction, if you will. And before yokes were invented, if you wanted a horse to pull a plow, you threw a rope around its neck and attached it to a plow, and it pulled it. And a horse could do about five times as much work as a person, because people can also pull plows. We don't see it very often, thank goodness, but they can. But the problem is a horse eats about 5 times as much as a person. So it balances out. So, you know, people plowing your fields, horses plowing your fields, really doesn't make that much of a difference. What's most convenient? And then somebody invented the yoke. And a yoke for a horse is a device that goes over its neck and puts the pressure on the horse's shoulders. And so then you attach the plow or whatever it is to the yoke, and the horse now pulls with its shoulders instead of choking itself. And now a horse can do 10 times as much work as a person instead of 5 times as much, and still only eats 5 times as much as a person. And so suddenly it makes a lot more sense to have horses than to have people. There are other things involved, of course, but as I said, you can make a very good case for the invention of the yoke putting the end to human slavery as that kind of thing, as punishment, as spoils of war. That's something altogether different. Well, a yoke is something that allows you to do more work than you could otherwise. And we don't have yokes, but we do have something similar, and it's a backpack. And you've all seen kids with backpacks hanging on one arm and all of that, and carrying things, and I even do it myself until I realized that's why this side of my neck hurt. So now it goes on both shoulders like it's supposed to. But if you're going to carry any amount of weight in a backpack, you can throw a bunch of stuff in a bag and hang it on your back, and you'll be able to carry it, but it won't be quite as well done until you have a properly designed pack. I remember the first time I ever put a good rigid H-frame pack on my back that had a hip belt, a 4-inch wide hip belt. I put this on, did up the belt, and I thought, I can carry a house. Of course, I couldn't carry a house. But the difference between carrying something in a backpack that's designed to carry things, that is fitted to you, because that's what the hip belt does, and it takes the weight off your shoulders, which aren't very good at holding things up, and puts it on your hips, which are really good at holding things up, because they hold you up. Well, until you need them replaced, like my mother-in-law just did, and then they're even better, I hope. But suddenly, everything makes more sense. Suddenly you can do more with less effort. It's the most extraordinary experience. And that's about as close as I think we're likely to come to seeing what Jesus is talking about here. Because what Jesus is saying and speaking wisdom into our lives is saying you already have a bunch of work, you already have a bunch of yokes or a bunch of things that would be better off with a yoke that maybe you're just carrying in a bunch of bags. This seems to be primarily a male thing, but when you go to the supermarket, I'm sure you've at least seen some man do this, or maybe you've been the man who did it, trying to take in all the groceries from the car to the house in one trip. Because after all, those 11 seconds that the second trip would take are awfully precious, or whatever's going through my mind when I do this. And you see this, or I just have to think back to myself, you're carrying all this, sure you can carry it from the car to the house, but you couldn't carry it a step further because it's a ridiculous load. It's unbalanced, it doesn't make any sense, you have to be careful about the squashy fruit next to the frozen whatever. It's just crazy. Like, why do we do this? I don't know. But that's a pretty good picture for most of us of how we deal with our responsibilities. We just take them on. And we just do them without giving a lot of thought to how we're doing them, or sometimes we do them without even giving a lot of thought to why anymore. And we suddenly realize that we're really tired. And we should be tired. We're doing a bunch of things. We're keeping track of this and that. We're on this committee. We have this job, whether it's paid or otherwise. We've got these concerns about our kids or our grandkids or our parents or our grandparents or wherever it goes. We have all these things all coming together. And it's into that that Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Not by making all of these go away, because as responsible people, you can't just step out of your life. It doesn't work that way. The rest comes from taking Jesus' yoke upon you, learning from him, because his yoke is easy and the burden is light. If you have to carry a bag of flour from here to the back of the church, and you have two options. One is to carry it like this, with your arms outstretched, holding it in both hands, or putting it in a backpack that's fitted to you, which are you going to choose? You're going to put it in the backpack, because then it's no problem. The burden is the same, it weighs the same, and yet, miraculously, it's lighter when it goes where it belongs. What Jesus is telling us is that when we come to Him with all of these things that we do, when we're feeling burdened and tired and overwhelmed, He doesn't step in and pluck us out of the life we live, leaving this vacuum behind. He says, let's take a look at what you're actually doing. And let's see if you're doing what you should be doing. If you're doing those things that only you can do. Let's look at this responsibility that you picked up maybe 20 years ago. And you've been doing it faithfully ever since. But the joy that it started with is gone. And not just because of familiarity, but because it's just turned into an onerous task. It still needs to be done. But does it need to be done by you? Is it perhaps time to hand it off to someone else who will feel that same joy when they take it on that you did when you first did? Or perhaps Jesus looks at some of your burdens and says, I see that you are terribly worried about things you have no control over. You're worried about the health of other people. You can't do much about other people's health. You can pray for them. You can step away from the worry. You can give the worry to Jesus. Perhaps you're worried about the future. There are things you can do to make the future more to your liking, but you can't control the future any more than you can control the past. Jesus says, take these things that you can't deal with, that you shouldn't do, get rid of those things that you can't manage anyway, give them to me. That's what Jesus says. And I'll turn all of your worries, all of your concerns, all of your responsibilities into a yoke that's custom made for you. That feels light because it's exactly what you need. And this isn't something that you've never done before, but it's something that we sometimes lose track of. Think back to that time when, through your connection with God and the people around you and the counsel that you received, you suddenly realized that you were doing exactly what you needed to do. Wasn't that a wonderful feeling? When you know you're in the job you should be in, when you know that your relationships are moving forward, when you know that your community, whatever that looks like, is one that is growing and healthy. It's not perfect because we live in a fallen world, but think back to that day when you woke up in the morning and you thought, I'm going to work today, or I'm going to church today, or whatever the day held, you thought, that's what I'm going to do today, and it's going to be good because this is what I've been created to do. Not those days when you open your eyes and think, oh, whatever it is that makes you go, Take those days to Jesus and say, this doesn't seem like a yoke you'd give me. I'm not experiencing much rest here. I'm not finding this easy. I'm finding this really hard. And what you may find is that your backpack that is still there, that is still carefully and perfectly fitted to you, is completely empty, and you're carrying your stuff at arm's length. And Jesus will help you see what is it that belongs in the backpack and what doesn't. What is it that you worry about that you shouldn't? That you can just give to Jesus. It's perfectly human, sensible, and even right to be concerned about the people in your lives. But worrying about them doesn't help them and just makes you miserable. You take the worry, you give it to Jesus. You say, this is my concern. I'm worried about their health. Jesus says, I'll take care of their health. You take care of yours. What is it that you need to do? What is it that you could be doing? And maybe it will have an effect on them. Who knows? But look at the burden that Jesus has put upon you. because he never gives you more than you can manage. One of my roommates, when I was in college, he was in seminary, which didn't make him wiser, which he proved more than once, but at the same time, he had some very, very wise things to say now and then. And we were talking about how do you tell the difference between, you know, being led by the Spirit and not, and just doing what you want to do, or perhaps even being tempted. And what he said, which has stuck with me ever since, is that when it comes to that, the Spirit leads and the devil drives. And it doesn't sound like much, it's not very many words, but when you think about it, when you ponder it for a little bit, it really starts to make sense. Are you driven into the decisions you're making? Do you feel that you've been painted into a corner and there's no way out? That doesn't sound like the Holy Spirit. That doesn't sound like the grace of God reaching out to you, does it? It sounds like our own desires, our own need to be liked or to be well thought of, a temptation that we've perhaps given into. The Holy Spirit leads us into places that are often challenging, to be sure. Psalm 23 doesn't say, you know, we'll ignore the valley of the shadow of death as if it's nowhere. It says, no, I'll be with you in that. And that's what this light burden, this easy yoke is about. About being in close enough connection with God through Jesus, listening to the Holy Spirit to know what it is that we should be doing, not just what's an okay idea. There is no shortage of good things for each of us to do. Good things, not bad things. I'm not talking about becoming a bank robber. I'm just talking about taking on so many good things that the goodness in your life gets squeezed out. And I'm not saying that all of you are in that situation, but I'm pretty sure you've all been there at least once at some point when you realize that you're feeling almost harried from pillar to post with things to do, and you wish you'd never said yes to that. Well, sometimes taking on the burden that Jesus puts for us means stepping away from some other things, saying no to some good opportunities, because you're not the only good person to do that good thing. But I don't want a yoke. In some ways, it's a foolish thing to say. You already have what the yoke represents. Maybe you have an ill-fitting yoke. Maybe you've overloaded your yoke, because you can't put too much in a backpack for you to stand up. You can put too much weight behind a horse that it can't move. But to say you don't want one is just not on. It's just not going to work that way. You're always going to have these things that you need to do. Why not let Jesus help you with the things that are most important? The things that are custom made for you. The work that you do that you find energizing, not exhausting. The relationships that you're in that are life affirming even when they present challenge. Jesus isn't just making things up here. This isn't just some pleasant possibility. If we can get past the physical idea of a yoke and broaden it to what Jesus means, he's really serious. When we're doing what Jesus has asked us to do, not what we think we should do or what other people tell us we should do, when we get away from the shoulds and the ought tos and all of those things and move into this is what God wants me to do, the work might be hard, but it's also easy. The burden may still be there, but it's light. It's almost a paradox, but it's one that we can achieve. Instead of saying, I don't want a yoke, let's say to Jesus, I want my yoke. I want the yoke that you have custom built for me so that I can do exactly what you want me to do, so that I can be the person I was created to be. He'll give you the guidance that you need to pick up the things that you need to pick up, to let go of those things that you don't need to carry anymore. And you'll experience the joy of a yoke that is easy, a burden that is light. But only if you ask, and only if you listen. Amen.